This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, seavillepodcast.com.
We are very excited to welcome to the program a good friend of the program, Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, joins us from his office in Richmond. How are you, sir?
Hello, Coy. I'm doing good. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. No complaints. Doing well. Enjoying this this sunny weather. It's just a beautiful day. Finally.
We got the rain out of here. There's some parts of Virginia still struggling with some flooding, but today the skies are blue and the sun's shining, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, there's some pigs flying up in that sky because it looks like we might have a budget.
Well, yeah, the General Assembly, we met this afternoon. We convened in the Senate about... Actually, 10 o'clock this morning, and just got finished about a quarter of four, and we have finished action on all of the governor's budget amendments. Some of those budget amendments were agreed to. Some of those budget amendments were rejected, but that finishes the legislative work on the budget, and assuming that the governor decides to go ahead and sign it. It should be in place by the start of the new fiscal year on July 1.
Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, our guest. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, we just spoke in the last half hour with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville, who was on his way back from the session today. He's on his way back to Charlottesville, and he said, you know, this was one of the most disappointing, challenging days that I've seen yet in the General Assembly, and he was referring to the fact that in the House, and you can explain to us how it worked in the Senate, but in the House, the majority of Republicans took a lot of the governor's amendments and blocked them off and sort of an up or down vote on a whole bunch at one time.
I'd say, first of all, Delegate Toscano hasn't been around long enough because the days get a lot longer and more disappointing than this one. Right? But maybe I think this is his first term. It might have been the longest and most disappointed one he's had, but I've seen many like it over the
I bet
years.
You have.
You know, frankly, Coy, the House of Delegates is it's a little more I'll say energetic body in some respects than the Senate is, and I think on the Senate side, as we looked at the governor's amendments to the budget, we really thought that they were for the most part reasonable amendments to make, and all of the amendments that the Senate received were agreed to, and in fact, they were agreed to in a block without a great deal of debate. The House took a little bit of a different approach from what I saw today on some of the closed circuit activity as we were in the Senate. It seemed as though some of the delegates took exception to the governor's decision in between the time the budget was adopted and the time he proposed his amendments. He found about $29 million in additional money because of some revised revenue forecasts, and the governor chose to spend all of that money on various types of programs, which frankly is what most governors do in their budget amendments. But the majority of the House of Delegates took the position that all of that money should just not be spent, that some of that money should be set aside because we are coming back to Richmond in the fall to continue talking about the transportation debate. So while the House did approve a couple of the governor's amendments that dealt with appropriations and then most of the governor's non-appropriation-related amendments, they did reject the vast majority of the appropriations that dealt with the vast majority of the amendments that dealt with appropriations. And that's just a prerogative of the House. And, you know, sometimes the House views those things a little bit more differently than the Senate might view them. So I'm sure the governor was disappointed to have several of those amendments rejected. You know, there were a couple of them that I myself have to tell you I was disappointed. One was an amendment that would have given $3.75 million to the city of Lynchburg to help with their combined sewer overflow funding. We did a similar thing this year for Richmond, but did not do it for Lynchburg, and I felt that amendment should have been agreed to. There were also an amendment in there that would have provided some additional funding to promote cultural diversity and involve the Indian community more, for example, in the Jamestown 2007 festivities. I was disappointed to see that amendment rejected, but that's the reason it happened. The House, I think, just took exception with the governor's decision to spend all of that new revenue, and they felt that some of it should be set aside for future use.
Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling is our guest here on Charlottesville Right Now. We've got 18 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, how does it work now when the governor makes an amendment to a budget and it's approved in the Senate but rejected in the House? It's rejected, right? If it's rejected at all, it's rejected.
That's right. The budget originates as a House bill, so all of the governor's amendments and vetoes of budget items go to the House of Delegates first, and if they agree to an amendment, it then comes to the Senate for our consideration. If they reject an amendment, it's dead. In order for an amendment to be agreed to, it has to be agreed to by the House first and then the Senate. So the amendments that the House chose to reject, we did not even see in the Senate. The amendments that they chose to pass were then sent to the Senate, and the Senate very rapidly agreed to those amendments. Now, you know, my hunch is that if the Senate had acted on these amendments first, I doubt that the Senate would have rejected any of the governor's proposed budget amendments, because, frankly, all of the amendments I felt were reasonable amendments. But, again, the House wasn't so much, from what I saw of their debate, focusing on whether or not the amendments individually were good amendments or bad amendments. They were focusing more on the bigger question of whether or not the governor should have spent all of the new revenue that he found since the General Assembly passed its budget a couple of weeks ago. And that's more of a philosophical kind of a debate than it is a debate of saying this amendment's a good idea or a bad idea.
Right. So there could be House Republicans who think absolutely Lynchburg does need to do something about its sewage problem, raw sewage going into the James River, and the state needs to take a leadership role in that action. But you know, we're not going to do it right now.
That's right, and that was I was disappointed that the House rejected that amendment. I thought that amendment should have been passed. There's no logical explanation for why you would give $3.7 million to Richmond for their combined sewer overflow project and not give the same amount to Lynchburg, because if you first prevent that overflow in Lynchburg, it's not going to get to Richmond. But if you don't prevent it in Lynchburg, then you've got to deal with it in Richmond, and it makes the Richmond problem twice as bad. So, I was disappointed that amendment was rejected. I don't think there was any logical reason, frankly, for the rejection. It just got wrapped up in this broader debate of should we really be spending all of this money, or should we be setting some of it aside for future purposes?
Right, right. Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling is our guest. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about a little something about property rights, which I believe is on your desk right now. We'll look at that when we get back with the Lieutenant Governor. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
We're speaking with the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Bill Bowling, from his office in Richmond. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, I know you're working on something about property rights. What is that all about?
Well, we had a press conference at the Capitol this morning, Coy, to announce that several members of the General Assembly are coming together in a coalition to make sure that we do something in 2007 that we were not able to do in 2006, and that's to passed legislation to close the loopholes that a Supreme Court decision last year called the Kelo decision created in Virginia's laws regarding the use of the power of eminent domain. And as you know, and I'm sure as your listeners know, for many years Virginia has recognized the right of localities and state government itself to exercise the power of eminent domain if it had to take property for a legitimate public purpose, to build a school, to build a road, to build a fire department, a rescue squad, a park. But last year, the United States Supreme Court, in what I thought was just an abhorrent decision, actually said that local governments and state governments could utilize the power of eminent domain more broadly, and in particular, they could utilize it to enhance their economic base, their tax base. And you could seize a property not because you were going to use it for any legitimate public purpose, but simply because you wanted to turn one kind of a business into another kind of business, or you wanted to remove and replace one business with another business that would bring more tax revenue to the locality. That's a bad policy, and that's never what the power of eminent domain was intended to do. You know, we believe very strongly in private property rights in Virginia. We think it's important that we protect private property rights in Virginia. And this year we tried to pass legislation closing the loophole in our eminent domain laws that the Kelo decision had created. We were unsuccessful. We're going to work real hard between now and the 2007 session to build a coalition behind doing that, and we started that process today.
Lieutenant Governor, what was the challenge this session? Because I know going into it, everybody was like, you know, left and right, people were upset by this decision by the Supreme Court, and everybody wanted to see something done, and there was a lot of, a lot of talk, a lot of, we're really going to do something in Virginia this year about this. What broke down such that nothing happened?
Well, this year the Senate passed a eminent domain reform bill, and the House passed a different bill. And frankly, I think what we saw was that the Senate bill didn't go far enough, and the House bill maybe went too far. And because of that, the conferees on those two bills were never able to reconcile the differences, and we were never able to achieve any consensus behind what the proper approach of closing the Kelo loopholes was to be. We hope that by starting now and trying to build that consensus around some fundamental core principles of what we need to do in Virginia to protect private property rights, that as we go into next year's session, we may have a better chance at achieving that type of consensus. But, you know, it won't be easy because there are forces out there that like the Kelo decision. They like this additional authority that the Supreme Court has given state and local government to be able to condemn private property and take private property for uses that many of us find objectionable. So it does pit a number of strong forces within the lobbying community against each other. And because of that, it is not an easily resolved issue. We thought it would be this year. It wasn't. We just want to make sure that we start early as we head toward next year and make sure that this is an issue that we get properly taken care of. We want to preserve the legitimate right of state and local government to use the power of eminent domain for legitimate public uses, but we want to make sure that we close the loopholes, that we don't allow that power to be abused, and that we do everything we can to protect the very important principle of private property rights.
Yeah, I guess unless you're a strident libertarian would be against the very idea, of course, of government taking private property to use it for a rescue squad or a school. But I think most people tend to think that that's something we should hold on to, that government should have that type of power to make those type of improvements to society.
Well, it's like most of the other things we deal with, Coy. It's about the proper balance. And, I think we probably had the proper balance prior to the Kelo case. We permitted the use of the power of eminent domain for some clearly defined legitimate public purposes, but we excluded it for things that went beyond that. But in light of the Kelo decision, we have this whole new loophole opened up where the power of eminent domain can be used for things that it was never intended to be used for. So right now that we don't have that balance. That balance is tilting too far to the side of jeopardizing private property rights. So we need to find a way to bring that balance back. You're absolutely right to preserve the power of the legitimate use of eminent domain for things like roads and schools and fire departments and rescue squads, the things we normally thought about, but to make sure that we don't have a system in Virginia where someone's property can arbitrarily be seized simply because government decides there is a higher or better use for that property. That is simply giving too much power to government and abrogating some of those very important private property right protections that have always been a part of our system.
Well, personally, I want to applaud your efforts in leading this coalition and this bipartisan effort to close that loophole and doing something in Virginia to prevent that kind of thing from happening. I agree with you that that's a power that government shouldn't have.
Absolutely. It's just going a little bit too far. And the fact is that I think most governments would utilize it reasonably. But we know from experience that some governments and some governmental agencies would not. And the best way to prevent that power from being abused is to not give that power in the first place.
Right.
And that's the balance that we have to get back to.
Don't even make it an option.
Absolutely.
There you go. Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, thank you, sir, for your time. We look forward to talking to you again. It's always a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me on, and I hope you have a great day.
Absolutely, you as well. Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling from his office in Richmond. We always look forward to to talking about the issues with him. He's usually working on something very interesting at Benefits Virginia, and we thank him for that and for his efforts in Richmond.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.